Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Platinum 2 Executive Director Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Monday, July 15th, 2013, Moore Success Team Legal Shield Conference Call. We have an outstanding call lined up for our team tonight. Before we get started, I want to congratulate Moore Success Team Millionaire Club member, $100,000 ring earner, and former Executive Director, Mr. Rex Legale, for being named the new Regional Vice President of New Mexico. We're excited about his appointment and anxious to watch the growth of New Mexico under his guidance and leadership. Again, congratulations goes out to Mr. Rex Legale. But I want to quickly go out to the state of Utah to Millionaire Club member, $250,000 earner, Mr. Chris Hughes. Chris, are you on?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Randy.
Hey, good evening, Mr. Hughes. I know you have a couple of things you'd like to cover before we get to the guest speaker tonight, so I'll turn it over to you.
Absolutely. Really, I just want to just brag on, we've got a lot of people that are doing some great things right now. One is that's certainly standing out is Miss Gillespie, Miss April Gillespie up in Cincinnati, Ohio marketplace. And I've known Miss Gillespie over the years, you know, and we had a few, you know, few conversations here and there. But a few months ago, I was able to, go into her marketplace, meet her, meet the team, and I've always been impressed with how sharp she is, but after having spent some time with her and her mother and her brother and their team, I just thought, you know, this is a platinum plus, you know, ring earner, $250,000 ring earner and above, all day long, you know. And so we've been working together closely. She's been working me like a dog, actually. I've been doing a lot of three-way calls with her, welcome calls, but mostly just trying to stay out of her way and let her do her thing. And she's been power 20 the last 3 months in a row, and she's already power 20 this month. And I haven't heard her say it yet, but I'll just say it that if she, you know, keeps pushing like she's pushing, she'll ED qualify by accident, you know, if this month but next month. Just so proud of her, Randy, and just wanted to say a few words and just let us know, you know, what she's doing that she feels is working so well in her marketplace. So with that said, Ms. Gillespie, are you on the line?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you sound great, and I'm going to turn about, you know what, 3-4 minutes over to you.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Hughes and Mr. Moore and really the entire Moore Success team for just giving me a couple minutes to share my story and what's really working for us out here in Cincinnati. And just as Mr. Hughes said, we really just put the hammer down coming out of the national convention in April. And I just, you know, we often say that it comes down to a basic decision, and I just decided that it was time for me to really take my business to the next level. My background is in corporate America. I climbed the corporate ladder coming right out of the University of Cincinnati. Came out of school making about $35,000 a year as a marketing executive, and by the time I was 27, 28 years old, I was making six figures a year. Did really well in corporate, but as we all know, in corporate America, you pay a very high price tag for that kind of cash. So I found myself, you know, working 60, 70, sometimes 80 hours a week. And with the economic downturn, I was actually downsized twice in that time period. And I decided that it was time for me to really put my future into my own hands versus putting it in someone else's hands. So coming out of the national convention, as we all know, they released that 90-day run tracking document. And I got to tell you, that has made all the difference in my business personally and for our team. Took that very seriously and just really began to increase our level of activity. For me personally, I knew I had to get much better with follow-up. I had a lot of people. I had 4,000 contacts in my cell phone between friends, family, business associates, colleagues, old co-workers, clients that I had worked with, and I had not even scratched the scratch on that list. So I really just had to get really good at follow-up. So that was the first thing that I did. And in that 90-day run tracking document, in that first week, nothing really happened extraordinary, but I was killing it on follow-up. I mean, I was just really following up with a lot of people that I had in my pipeline. And then by that second week, I had like 4 recruits coming out of the convention because I really just got solid on follow-up and really just began to leverage the events here locally. I think the other big thing that's made a big difference for us is as we bring on new associates, we often talk about the number one way to launch a business is through a private business reception. Well, you can have one private business reception, or you could have multiple private business receptions. So what we've done is we've begun to implement a very basic script for new folks. We know that new people have a lot of anxiety. We're trying to decrease their level of anxiety and increase their level of confidence. So we just developed a very basic script that allows them to comfortably invite their prospects to their launch of their first PBR. Our goal is to help them develop a list of 50 people initially, 100 people within their first 48 to 72 hours. A big list equals big income, which we all know. So we launched them with that first private business reception, but their goal is with that list of 100 to expose all 100 to some form of information over a four-week time frame. So we not only schedule one PBR, we schedule four PBRs, one per week, really building the financial foundation for that new associate's business. So that's a big change that we made. We don't do just one PBR. We do four PBRs now. The other thing that we did is we started just adding more events. So we do call parties normally once a week where we get the team together and we, you know, show them how to be an expert. They can watch us be an expert as we help get their guests invited out to the brief, and or the Super Saturday, whatever is coming up at that moment. And then the other big thing that we added is culture building events. So, you know, we added a performance club breakfast. So those associates who PC qualify, the month before, we get a six-figure ringer on the line and allow them to pour into our new folks for about 10, 15 minutes over breakfast and just provide some higher-level leadership training to those folks over, you know, an hour, hour and a half. Because we know that there's only two things that we really do on the networking side of Legal Shield, and that's we build leaders and we build culture. So this is one of the things that we're doing that's building culture, yes, but also building leaders at the same time. And then just adding more events. We had a conversation with Mr. Frank O'Coin recently, and he said, well, we were running for our six-figure ring. We added more events. We went from 2 events a week to 10 events a week. So we're not up to 10 yet, but we are up to about 3 to 4 between the briefing, you know, private business receptions, and then also we added a Sunday 5 o'clock dinner and a show that we just do at a Perkins restaurant, nothing fancy, where we just simply do tabletop presentations, show a couple videos. And we had a brand new associate who got Fast Start. Actually, we've had 3 new associates who got Fast Start qualified in their very first PBR in the last 7 days. That new associate then invited one guest to our dinner and a show on Sunday at 5 o'clock. He then brought 3 people with him. So we got a couple memberships there, and those folks have now been invited out to the briefing this Tuesday. So just really more activity at the end of the day. We have a book of the month as well. We're all reading Go for No for the month of July by Richard Fenton. Just really helps new folks to get over the whole rejection and realize you got to go through the no's to get through the yeses, and just really focusing on more events and building culture, which is really the glue to keep this whole thing together. So we're excited about what's happening out here. We're about 22 organizational sales so far for the month. We've got a lot of paperwork going in tomorrow for the briefing, a lot of guests coming out. So Edie is looking pretty good, but we're just going to stay focused on the activity, and we know that the results will come. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Hughes. And again, Morris's Sex Team, all the leaders there, really just appreciate the opportunity to be on the call tonight. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Gillespie. And, you know, we know that everything rises and falls on leadership, and that's what you're doing, is putting forth more leadership. Jim Rohn always said that if you want to make more money, you got to provide more value, and that's really what you're doing, is you're providing more value. And so I know as you continue to do that, you'll make more money. So with that said, congratulations, and back over to you, Mr. Moore, and thank you for the opportunity.
Well, you're welcome, Mr. Hughes, Ms. Gillespie. Outstanding job, and you're definitely a rising star on the Moore Success Team. Appreciate what you're doing. But now to introduce tonight's special guest speaker, I want to go straight to Ada, Oklahoma. He is an original Millionaire Club member, a $500,000 ring earner, Platinum 4 Executive Director, who continues to lead our More Success Team now after 30 years, and that is Mr. Ken Moore. Mr. Moore, are you on?
Loud and clear, Randy, loud and clear. What a great testimony that is. You know, Randy, I want to congratulate you on our bracelets that we just got in. You know, they're dark blue with orange out there, but, you know, you put the American flag right there in front of the Morrissey's Esteem, and we started out with faith, family, finance. You put the cross, because what we're about is God and family, and I really appreciate the job you've done on that. And anybody who wants one, of course, they call and mail it to them absolutely free. And I got a few people that are to several because their teams are growing and they like for them to wear them. But, you know, Randy, we've got a wonderful, wonderful speaker tonight. But, you know, we don't want to forget to absolutely congratulate Rex LaGalle for being the new RVP of New Mexico. I heard a lot of New Mexico people on tonight. I know they're going to tear this state up. They always have before, and I know they're pulling together out there, and I want to congratulate them on it. But tonight, you know, Randy, we have a young man that I greatly admire. You know, he was 5 years, you know, in the business world out there. I mean, not five. Yeah, 5 years on Wall Street and then 11 years in the mortgage business. And I tell you what, it takes a lot of stamina to do that. He's a married man. He's a bronze executive director under Dave Hall. He's qualified for the Profiles of Success last year for the first time. And he's 25th in the nation and 6th on the Moore Success Team in recruiting last year. 22nd in net and start qualifying and for the new Open Leg Associates. Qualified for Cancun, and the new BMW. Took him only 14 months to meet the executive level. But you know one thing I'm really proud of him for? He's got 11 children. He's even beaten Mark Riches. You know, that's quite a job, beat Mark Riches. But I want to congratulate him on that. But Randy, none other than someone that I'm very pleased and happy to have on the team, Mr. Damon Schieber. Mr. Schieber, are you on tonight?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, and thank you for being on a call. We're looking forward to it.
Well, thank you. Thank you so very much. It's an honor and a privilege. Even though I'm part of the Moore Success Team, obviously, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to speak to everyone. We have so many great leaders. You know, good friend of mine, Mr. Chris Hughes, you just heard from, and April Gillespie, Tony Barkley, and Linda Bowden, all kinds of tremendous, tremendous leaders on the Moore Success Team. And so it's a privilege for me to be able to talk. None, though, that's more of a leader than the Misters Moore, right? Both Ken and Randy, because I got to tell you, the very first time, I remember the very first time I called Mr. Moore, Mr. Ken Moore, really just to get to know him and to chat a little bit, and I felt like I was calling Mount Olympus. You know, I just really, it was like, you know, why would you even know who I was, type of deal, and was excited that you spent a few minutes with me, and then, you know, as the team's grown, I've introduced people on my team to you via the phone, and you've always taken the time, and I just so much appreciate you, sir. You have no idea. I'm so grateful for you. So
no, thank you, young man. We appreciate you.
Well, I apologize to the whole team, because normally, you know, we send out a topic, and I just had no idea what I was going to speak about until yesterday. I came back from church, and I was just thinking about what I would say on the call tonight, and it kind of hit me that I should just really kind of share the story, because, you know, listen, we're all dedicated to the Ten Core Commandments. The Ten Core Commandments are non-negotiable, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, and the Ten Core Commandments is a system, right? A car is a system. And if we were all driving the same car, let's just say we were all driving a white 328i BMW, right? Paid for by Legal Shield, of course. But if we were all driving that car, that doesn't mean we all drive it the same way, right? Some people drive it laid back. Some people, like my wife, drive it on top, you know, they're on top of the wheel. Some people drive it with the music loud. Some people drive it with the top down, whatever the deal is. But we're all driving the same system. And so I don't want to presume to tell you how I'm driving the system. I would just turn you back to your upline executive director, because they're already doing a great job. You know, if they're at the executive director level, they're already doing a great job, and you want to follow them as closely as possible. That's what I would advise there. I will say this. I believe that the business, contrary to what most people think, the business starts at executive director. I know when we show the compensation plan, we show the executive director level at the top of the compensation plan, but really that's just when we're getting started, right? Because there are 21 levels above that we don't even bother showing. You know, everything before that, so, you know, your journey from junior associate through director, that's just paid training. Just paid training. And isn't it great that we get paid while we're being trained? But, you know, don't think you're going to catch every overhaul while you're there. And don't think that, you know, if you're struggling, I want you to understand, you haven't even opened the doors of your business until you hit the executive director level, okay? Because what other business, you know, director and down, they're all top permanent, you know, they're all permanent positions. What other business do you know of where you could do nothing and maintain a business, right? If you were a McDonald's franchise, you couldn't sell no hamburgers in a given month and say, oh, I operated a business this month. No, you closed the doors that month. But when you have to hit a level of production every single month, and in our business, executive director, 50 memberships a month, right? In our business, that's when you're opening the doors to your business. And so I want to talk from that standpoint tonight, and I want to give you a couple of principles and then just tell you a couple of stories in the time we have left. So the very first principle is this, and that you got to have the right mindset, you know. And again, if I say something that your upline is teaching different, please listen to your upline, okay? But on my team, we don't set goals for performance club. I hear a lot of people that they set goals for performance
really
club.
It's not worth marketing.
And, you know, we don't set goals for performance club in our business.
Because
performance club is easy. And that's the mindset we want to have. Performance club is easy. And I don't set a goal to get out of bed in the morning, although sometimes my wife thinks I should. Okay? But just like I don't set a goal to get out of bed, I don't set a goal for performance club. And I, for two reasons. One, it's easy. And two, because if I miss a goal, I certainly don't want to end up out of performance club. Right? So I never set a goal for performance club, and I teach my people not to set it for performance club. I always set it for something higher. Listen, you want to recruit 5 people this month? You want to make $1,000 this month? You want to do something I call PC3, right? Performance club 3 means you're qualifying for this month's performance club, you're qualifying for next month's performance club this month, and you're helping one new person on your team qualify for performance club, right? That's PC3. And so, you know, you want to set a goal for PC3. Listen, the worst case scenario, if you have a goal to recruit 5 people and you miss, and you only recruit 2, guess what? You're still in performance club yourself. You see how that works? And so we never set a goal to do something easy. We set a goal for something that's going to stretch us. And we set, for me and my team, we set goals together. So I'm aware of my team's goals, and I'm trying to help them get there, you know, as well as they're putting forth the effort to get there. Okay, so that's the first principle. The second principle is this. With regard to goal setting, whatever goal we set, it's not just about setting the goal, it's about achieving the goal. And one of the things, you know, I'm so grateful to Mr. Chris Hughes. No one has ever taught me more. No single individual has ever taught me more about personal development than Mr. Chris Hughes. And he's done it in conversations that I've been fortunate enough to be there in person and listen to, but he's also done it on team training calls. He's also done it at live events. You know, wherever it is, he has taught me more about personal development than anyone else. And in that, one of the things that I've learned is that when you set a goal, you make sure that you stretch all the way to the end of the month. Because here's what happens. Unless you achieve your goal before that. You know, if you achieve your goal on the 29th, you want to take a few days off, whatever the deal is. But here's what happens. If you have not yet reached your goal, you need to stretch all the way to the end of the month, because there's a big difference between whether the clock runs out on you or whether you give up. And if you give up, it's going to eat away at your self-esteem on a subconscious level. And the next month, you'll give up sooner. And the next month, you give up sooner, and before you know it, you're out of the game. But if you stretch to the end of the month, you come away holding your head up high, like, man, I could have had that. I love what Fran Tarkenton said a couple of years ago at the ED banquet. He's like, we would have won that too, except we ran out of time, right? And that's kind of the mindset. You push to the end of the month, you leave it all on the field, you feel good about yourself, and your subconscious feels good about yourself, and it's your subconscious that's going to move you forward, right? So the second principle is you stretch all the way till you either hit your goal or all the way through the end of the month, okay? The third principle is you need to build a track record of success, okay? And I'm gonna incorporate that along with the fourth principle, which is the power of story. I remember Darnell Self came to Salt Lake a few years ago and for a Super Saturday, and he talked about the power of story. and you'll notice everything I'm telling you tonight, I'm talking about how someone else taught me, by the way, right? None of this is, you know, hey, Damien Cheever's great, you know, I'm brilliant, whatever. It's just stuff I've learned from other people who have success in the business. And so if you stick around long enough and go to enough events and plug in often enough, you're going to learn the same things I've learned, right? But Darnell Self talks about the power of story, and we want to make sure that we always have a story to tell. I never overcome objections, by the way. I just don't. I don't bother with them. On occasion, I'll share a story, right? Depends on how interested I think they really are. If it's an objection, like it's a concern, I might share a story. If it's an objection, like they're just trying to get blow me off, then I let them blow me off. Okay? That's just me. But the idea is I always share a story. And so I want to share a story or a little bit of my journey tonight, and it's really just my journey to executive director. I got started in November 2008. I was in the mortgage business. We felt the recession about a year before everyone else felt the recession. Those people in the housing sector, so loan officers, realtors, construction crews, you know, all felt the recession about a year before everyone else did. And in the summer of 2008, I started thinking to myself, if I knew then what I know now, and I'm sure a lot of you on the line tonight have thought to yourself at some point in your life, if I knew then what I know now. And what I was thinking is, if I knew then what I know now, instead of going into the mortgage business all those years before, I would have gone into the insurance business, right? Because I always tell people loan officers are stupid people, and I apologize to any loan officers on the call tonight, but you'll understand because you're on the call tonight, loan officers are stupid people, and here's why. Most people don't get residual income in their wallet because they don't get it in their head. But loan officers get residual income in their head, and they still don't get it in their wallet. And you got to admit, it's pretty sad when, or pretty stupid to spend your entire career setting up residual income for other people. And that's what I was doing in the mortgage business. And so I thought to myself, you know, the bank is doing okay. The homeowners insurance agents I work with are doing okay because I'm setting up residual income for them. But when the mortgage business started drying up, all of a sudden I had nothing except a lot of mouths to feed. And so, I got started with Legal Shield a couple of months later. A friend showed me, I wasn't interested in network marketing at all. A friend showed me Legal Shield, and I thought to myself, I could use that product, and all my clients could use that product. And that's what got me started. But, you know, he told me the director was the top permanent position. I thought to myself, all right, if I'm gonna do this, I want to get paid $200. I didn't even really think about executive director, right? Because I knew that was like, you know, you got to produce every month. I wasn't really interested. But I said, what's the fastest way to get to director? And he said, you know, it'll go a little faster if you recruit a few people. And I said, okay, I know a few people. And I went out and I recruited a few people. That, you know, one person that first month and a couple of people the second month. The first month was like a part month. I got started right before Thanksgiving, right? A couple of people that second month. But my second full month in the business, which was January 2009, all of a sudden the mortgage business disappeared. And I had literally zero income for the next 4 months from the mortgage business. But January 2009, those few people that I recruited actually went out and did something. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this dog will hunt, right? Because all of a sudden I made an extra $1,500 from overrides that second full month in the business. The first month I didn't have any income from the mortgage business. And after that, recruiting became my full-time focus. It wasn't my full-time effort, it wasn't my full-time job, but it became my full-time focus, and it became a lot of what I thought about. And as you're aware, what you think about comes about, right? So went out and hit director in February of 2009, but now I was engaged. And in order to go executive director, you need two things. You need to make a decision, and you need to have the belief. Now, most people have the belief that they can be an executive director, and they simply haven't decided. And if that's you, I would definitely invite you to decide to be an executive director, okay? But for me, it was the opposite. It was I had decided that second full month in the business, right? And I decided to be an executive director, but I didn't believe that I could. And so hopefully, you know, if that's you tonight, hopefully you'll get something out of it. Because what happened was I started building a track record of success. And I didn't know it at the time. Okay? It wasn't like I said, oh, I need to start building a track record of success, right? It was, I was just being led by great leaders like my mentor, Dave Hall, and my sponsor, who's no longer in the business, but at the time, he was an executive director. And they just kind of led me. And then all of a sudden, we were having Darnell Self come to the Team Renewed team event. And it was actually Mr. Chris Hughes that announced that, hey, whoever hit Director 25, back when we talked about Director 25, in May can attend a special breakout at the team event. And I thought to myself, man, there's no way I'm going to miss that special breakout. And I've been hitting D25 pretty regularly. But all of a sudden, come May, that month, you know, come the end of the month, I was at 18 counters, right? And so all of a sudden, I was like, and it was the last night of the month, you know, back when we used to have the cutoff was 1 o'clock Mountain Time, 2 o'clock Central Time. So it was the last night of the month, and we had a training. And I remember my sponsor said to me, hey, listen, if you think you can go do it, go do it. I said, no, you don't understand. I've had all month to hit D25. I need to be at the training. So I went to the training. And then I went to the event after the event because we used to hold it after training. And at 10 o'clock at night, and for those who know me know I'm not a morning person, so at 10 o'clock at night, after the event, you know, or 10:30 at night, whatever it was, I said, okay, how am I going to get 7 counters a night? And so, you know, I called my sister-in-law up. I said, hey, listen, I haven't had a chance to show this to you, but, you know, it's something you need. And, you know, let me tell you about it real quick. And I told her about it real quick, told her she can get her will done, told her she could have, you know, unlimited access to advice, and told her it would set up her identity theft protection. And I said, but I need you to do it tonight for me. And, you know, I'll come explain it in more detail in a couple of days, but I need you to do it tonight for me. And she did it for me. And then I stopped by a Sherry's Diner. It's kind of like a Denny's. Right? I went to a Sherry's Diner and sat down with the waiter who I was kind of friendly with. I said, hey, Terrence, listen, here's the deal. No pressure either way, but I'm kind of under a bind. You know, in between tables, he let me show him the legal plan and the identity theft plan. And he said, well, I'm going to pass on the identity theft, but I'll take the legal plan. I said, fantastic. We filled it out, and we got it in. Right, and then a couple of more people that were, you know, I've been developing, you know, warm relationships with, and all of a sudden, before I went to bed that night, which was like 3 in the morning, by the way, but before I went to bed that night, we had qualified D25. And I was stoked, right, because now I was going to be at that special breakout. And that was great. A couple of months later, again, building a track record of success, because it's not all going to happen month to month, or week to week, or day to day. But a couple of months later, my sponsor, his name was Doug. Doug called me up and said, "Hey, by the way, do you know of anything else coming through?" And I had already hit my goals for the month. Okay, but he said, "You know of anything else coming through your organization?" I said, "No, I don't." But listen, how far away are you? Because there is a secret to success in the business that very few people talk about because it seems incredibly self-serving. But I'm going to share it with you tonight, and that is this. The biggest secret to success, I believe, is you need to care more about your upline success than your own. That doesn't mean you don't care about your own. I hope you care about your own success a great deal. That's why it works. Because if you care about your upline success more than your own, all of a sudden it creates a bond between the two of you. Okay? And one of the reasons Doug spent as much time in my business as he did was because he knew I cared more about his success than my own. And so when he called me to ask me that, again, it was the last day of the month, and I just said, but how far away are you? He said, well, I'm 3 counters away, but I'll go get him. Don't worry. You know, he was just checking to see if I knew of anything coming through. And I said, okay, no problem. And I got off the phone with Doug, and I got on the phone, because we only had about an hour left, and I called in 3 favors with people who were already on the fence. They were people I had already exposed. Okay? It wasn't like I called someone up and said, hey, listen, can you just sign up for me? That wasn't the way it was. I called 3 people up who were kind of on the fence, and I said, listen, I know you've been considering it. Here's the deal. and again, no pressure either way. If you still want to consider it, that's fine. But if you're going to do it, I could really use you to do it today, like right now, because I'm close to a goal, right? Because my goal is to help my upline qualify. And they said, you know what? If it's going to help you reach a goal too, we'll do it, right? They were already considering it. It was just that extra added, well, we've been thinking about it anyway, and now it's going to help Damien too. Let's do it, right? And so, you know, in an hour, got three different people to get the membership, okay? And all of a sudden, Doug qualified. He was ecstatic. Now, the funny thing is, Doug called me up. He's like, dude, you got three more. I was like, I know. You said you were three away. I just wanted to make sure you qualified. He's like, do you realize I just paid for two of my brothers? Oh, man. But that's okay, right? Because he shouldn't have been in that position, but I wanted to make sure he qualified. And so all of a sudden, you know, here's another little step, in which case where I found out what I could do when I needed to. So fast forward a few more months. Now I've been in the business a year, and I'm going to try and wrap up because I know our time's up. I apologize. But I've been in the business a year. It was November 2009, and the problem was I still didn't believe I could go exec. I was working on it. I had decided to, but I didn't believe I could. And so I called my mentor up, Mr. Dave Hall, and I said, Dave, listen, you know, how many people did you have on your team when you went executive director? And he said 300. And I thought to myself, okay, he had single counters. I had double counters for a few years. If you don't know what double counters are, don't worry about it. Okay, but for a few years we had a counter for both, the identity theft and the defense. I thought he had single counters, I had double counters. He had 300, I had about 150, so the numbers were kind of similar. And so I thought, all right, I'm going to push. Okay, maybe I can do it. And I'm going to push. And then all of a sudden, come mid-December, we weren't really close, and I called Dave up again, and I said, Dave, just out of curiosity, how many people did you have on your team when you felt like your team was executive director? And he said 700. And some of you are like, wow. But I'm telling you, for me, it was a freeing experience. Because all of a sudden, what he really told me between those two conversations was, listen, if I want to go executive director, I can. And that's what I'm telling you tonight. If you want to go executive director, you can. And you don't have to let anything stop you. Right? I shared with my team the other day a story Chris shared with me about Jeff. You finally don't let those stupid people hold you hostage. Right? And so the idea is we didn't make it in December, right? We ended up D25 again, barely on the nose. But because of the momentum and because all of a sudden I had the belief now, in January, we did. Now, January was that month. For those of you who were around in January 2010, that Ada had that ice storm, right? And I walked home at the end of the month, which should have been the end of the month. We had 48 counters in a time when we needed 75. But we had 48. And then all of a sudden we got word that the ice storm, they were going to take packages till Sunday. You know, and they were going to accept applications online till Sunday and all that kind of stuff. And I said to myself, okay, man, let's go to work. We've got 2 days to get however many that is, 27 counters. 48 all month, but I want to do 27 in 2 days. And so on Friday or Saturday, me and the team went out, and between two, three of us that were working, we ended up getting 10 counters. I come home at 1 o'clock in the morning, Saturday night / Sunday morning, right? And we are 17 counters away. And I wake up my wife. She was kind of awake already, kind of waiting up for me, but she was in that sleepy state. I said, throw some water on your face. I need you, honey. And game plan. Who do we know that we can call? Who do we know that we can call right now at 2 o'clock in the morning? You know, who do we know that we can call tomorrow who's not going to be at church, right? Because normally we go to church. We don't work on Sundays, and, you know, but we are so close. We've never been this close. And so here's what happened. I contacted a few people at 2:30 in the morning, texted them. If they were awake, I called them, right? But we kept having to replace people because not everyone said yeah. Kept having to replace people. And all of a sudden, by the time 2 o'clock Central Time hit, we had 17 counters in, and we qualified executive director for the very first time. And, you know, you think we rejoiced like we were happy. We were happy, but we were in tears, an emotional mess on the floor, knowing that we had done it. The first time ever that we had done it. And all of a sudden, it raised our belief level to a new level. Like, we could do anything. And, you know, later on when we started qualifying cons and different things, and listen, if I need, there have been times that I've had to do 22 or 25 memberships myself. There have been times when I've had to do 22, 25 memberships myself, and but I don't think about it anymore. It's like now my mindset has changed. It's got to be done. Now, don't tell me, it's not a question of if, this is how I feed my family. So it's not a question of if, it's just a matter of how. How are we going to get it done? And when you can get to that point where it's not, you know, I think I can do it. It's just, how are we going to do it? That's when you're going to go exempt. And that's when you're going to go beyond exempt. And you're going to start hitting bronze and silver and gold and platinum, because you're going to be able to infuse your teams, your organizations with that same mindset. It's not about if. It's simply a matter of how. And so with that, one last quote that I'll leave you with. It's one of my favorite quotes of all time by a guy I've never heard of, by the way, Ralph Sherrill. But he said, nobody succeeds beyond his or her wildest expectations unless he or she begins with some wild expectations. So I invite you to get some wild expectations so that you can succeed beyond them. Thank you so much for having me on the call, Mr. Moore, and I'll turn the time back over to you.
I tell you what great motivation. You can feel it in your voice. We're so thankful to have you on our team. You're a great person. You're a great motivator. You're a great worker, and I commend you for it, and I'm so happy you're a Christian. I'm so happy you're a family man, and thank you one more time for your valuable time, because I know that you could be doing something else, but thank you so much. If we could ever speak for your team, your individual team, or anything, you give us a call, and we will be glad to do it. God bless you, my brother, and good night. Randy?
Mr. Cheever, again, thank you for being on the call. I want to thank Ms. April Gillespie for being on the call, and Mr. Chris Hughes. And Mr. Moore, I know we've gone just a little bit long, but I thought it was an excellent call.
It was an excellent call, very excellent call. Folks, next week we're going to have Ms. Lisa Streeter be our guest speaker. She's a fantastic lady. They make executive bronze, silver all the time. They're way down there in Atlanta, Georgia, and we'll be hearing from them next week. So be sure and be on the call, and just remember one thing. God, family, Legal Shield. God bless you, and good night.
Good night, everyone.